Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the podcast that is, well, I'm fizzing about basketball at the moment anyway. I don't know about these other two. Why is there an alarm going off?
I think it was JT.
JT?
No, don't throw me under the bus, Paul. That's definitely your alarm.
Okay, I got to come clean. That was my alarm. Sorry for throwing JT under the bus.
Can I say that was silky smooth lying, how quickly you pinned it on someone else?
Well, there was only one other person to pin it on, so it was straightforward.
Well, I don't want to hear how easy you can lie. That's my brother Paul, who's joining me.
Hello.
And also, it's funny how you're really fast at lying, but really slow at responding to your own name.
Yeah, I considered doing another lie, but then, I don't know. I'm done with lying.
That's the problem.
I'm turning over a new page now, and it's nothing but honesty from here on out.
And the third voice is my boy JT.
You could have said it's one of those Zoom hacks, Paul. You know those Zoom hacks?
No.
Oh, they're like Zoom terrorists. They just go around guessing Zoom numbers and like invading meeting rooms and like sticking their tongue out and stuff.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
It's time for a podcast that we talk about the basketball on, and we call it, as a joke, because we don't know that much about analytics, we call it Advanced Analytics. If you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball. I am captivated by every game. My life has become basketball, and I am obsessed. Are you guys enjoying these playoffs as much as I am?
I'm enjoying them, but it's almost in spite of the quality. All four teams deserved to lose yesterday. That was so bad. That's some of the worst basketball I think I've seen.
I loved it. I think in the playoffs, it becomes a rock fight, and these are thrilling, close games. In 2 days, we've had four games decided by 2 points. That's insane.
I agree with both of you. I think it was shocking, some shocking stuff, but I thought it was thrilling to watch. Like that play in Thunder Rockets where like Chris Paul tried to flop for a charge. Then Steven Adams somehow got a steal. Then Chris Paul came down and James Harden then tried to flop. And then Chris Paul just threw up the worst shot I've ever seen, basically to lose the game. It was crazy. Like, did they have a timeout? I think they had a timeout, but anyway.
JT, you're promising some piping hot takes and some conspiracy theories as well. Paul, is that where you want to start? You want to start on the Rockets beating the Thunder and closing out the series 4-3?
I don't care.
Yeah, let's start with Rocket Man.
It's time for the man who flies through space, loves the Rockets, and loves Elton John. It's time for Rocket Man. And I think it's going to be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find.
Guys, the Rockets have done it, baby. NBA champs, 2020. Dan Antoni is vindicated. Yeah. They're perfect.
It was crazy how much pressure they had on them, right? If they lost to the Thunder in round one against the player they traded away, who Chris Paul, so funny, like going from being injured every year for the last 10 years of his career and 35 years old, going to the healthiest and fastest he's ever looked career. He was powered purely by spite, and the Rockets just like with everyone's job on the line, Harden and Westbrook have got to be the players I least understand in the world. And Paul in that game six getting his dream Westbrook game, I couldn't believe all of it.
Well, Chris Paul went, he's switch to a plant-based diet. Congratulations, Chris Paul.
Unreal.
Yeah, I've never understood what plant-based is. Like, because isn't a lot... That's like saying that I live in a... Oh, no, that doesn't really make sense. I was going to say everything's plant-based.
Yeah, it's like when they talk about food being made from natural, and what they mean is they get no synthetic compounds or something. But like it all, like all food, even additives, you can trace it back to something natural. I mean, is plastic not made from natural materials? At the anyway, let's not get into my lack of knowledge about science. Paul, you must have been loving watching Westbrook almost. Ruin the Thunder in the same way he ruin the Rockets in the same way he'd ruin the Thunder.
Yeah, I was, but I had an added experience in that game where.
See, normally Paul, normally people would say, "Nah, man, you know, I just want to see good basketball. I want to see everyone do good well. Good on you for hiding your distaste for Westbrook."
I was rooting for the Thunder in the series for sure, but I made the mistake. I was watching that game late. What game was that? Game 6. And I just foolishly at one stage looked at Twitter and I saw a friend's tweet, Truly Elliot, who said, he said, Westbrook finally coming up clutch. And then I quickly quit out. Right? I quit out and I was like, damn it. I was really mad at myself. I'd ruined the result. B, the Rockets won. And then as I was like, I'm going to keep watching anyway. There's not that, there's like half a quarter to go. And so I just couldn't believe it at the end. And then finally when he threw it out of bounds, it became, because he fell over and lost the ball. He shot an air ball. And then when he finally threw it out of bounds, I realized there was more. The second half of that tweet was going to be a joke, and I could see the joke already. And sure enough, after the game, I went and looked, and it said Westbrook finally coming up clutch for the Thunder in the playoffs. And it was just unbelievable that I stopped reading before it got to the word Thunder, just in time to have this M. Night Shyamalan experience with a twist ending. It was crazy.
But then the ultimate ultimate sequel was then Westbrook coming back in the next game. And really keeping the Rockets in it.
Yeah, you know, he had some moments, but he still shot like 1 of 8 in the fourth quarter and almost single-handedly lost in the game again, right? But you're right, he did have a few vindicators, but that's the Westbrook roller coaster.
I felt like it was actually a real Westbrook vindication game. You're always going to, you expect him to like, he's never going to shoot high percentages, but I thought that was like a really classic, great Westbrook game.
Okay, now I think you're off your face. He was literally 1 of 8 in the fourth quarter.
I think it was Robert Covington game. 21 and 10. 2 steals, 3 blocks on 46% shooting.
I can't believe we've talked this long without JT just yelling out the word Dort or Luggins Dort or something about Dort.
I want to say this.
I actually think what's his name? Who's the GM?
Presti.
I feel like he's kind of screwed up. Like, I was just thinking about how the Rockets, I think they look shaky as hell. Do we not agree?
You mean Morey?
Yeah, Morey. Sorry, Presti is...
Yeah, Paul, that's what we're joking about. They look horrific.
But I feel like even last year's team, like, would they have been favorites this year?
Of course. What's the one thing you'd do? Yeah, definitely. What's the one thing you'd do to this Rockets team? Give them back Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Like, it's ludicrous. It's like it's unbelievably stupid.
I'm glad we all agree. Okay.
Now let's rewind 2 steps, because while I don't really agree with the Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook trade, Chris Paul is on a massive salary. He still is, like an untradeable salary. He gets injured every year, especially in the playoffs. And has had no success. And so what they did is they traded him for the one option they had, another massive contract, and a slightly more durable player who, ironically, Westbrook got injured in this series, which was hilarious because Chris Paul was healthy. But, like, Chris Paul's 35. He's got an untradeable contract. Morey has been forced to cut players he didn't want to cut. and make changes they didn't want to change. It was a last-ditch Hail Mary to try and win a championship, but I support the move.
But they didn't trade him for any of those reasons. They traded him because he called Harden lazy.
Nah, they traded him. Nah, they.
I think they just Harden needed forced each other. Trade.
Guys, Chris, how do you know that?
Because it's like a Tim. What's his name? McMahon broke the story when it was before the trade. It's confirmed.
Chris Paul is 35 years old and his contract is $40 million. It made sense.
But here's the 1% evidence.
I don't think it did.
It doesn't make sense.
It was a win now play, and I think they could win now. If it's the win now time, it makes sense to just go all in on a big contract.
And if Chris Paul hasn't played a playoffs in like 5 years, it's just amazing he played one this year.
They were one game away against when he got injured. One game away from potentially winning a title.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they didn't get there because he got injured, and they banked on his injury propensity. That's the stat that I want to create.
Your logic doesn't hold here, guy, because you're saying that they traded him away because he is injury prone on a massive contract. But they traded him for Westbrook. So that isn't the reason they traded him.
An incredibly durable player. Who is also on a massive, terrible contract?
I'm with JT. They hated each other.
It's
apparent. Even in this series, it was apparent.
I have seen no factual, like, besides a reporter. Is that reporter, you know, like, there's no proof that that was the reason. But there was obviously a feud there when he did get traded away. Like, it's like LeBron. You can speculate on why everyone gets moved to everywhere, but like. I don't know. I just think it's a bit flimsy. Don't get me wrong. I wish they had Chris Paul too, but I can totally understand why they traded Chris Paul for Westbrook, even though I bet Maury didn't feel great about it either. But like sometimes you got to pull big moves. And it's just crazy. It's hilarious that Chris Paul came back to haunt them. Hilarious.
Okay, so you got the draft picks as well, 2024 and 2026. First round. Like Harden's not going to be good in 2026.
Well, the trade that gets me that people shit on is people, because Paul George has been playing so poorly so far, people are shitting on Paul George getting traded for like 55 draft picks with the Clippers. But that was a win now move. And I'm like, that seems still like a great trade. Like, you've got to assume that Paul George will get his shit together and Paul George will play well in the next series and through to the finals. And now the Clippers are the win now favorites to win the championship this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, right.
But you're right. If the Clippers go out in round one to the Mavs, and it looks like a terrible, terrible trade. But this is the crazy position of a GM, right? It's crazy.
So one other thing, stray observation, just because you guys are derailing my segment.
Sorry, man.
No, that's fine. Well, so interestingly though, the Rockets just at the time that everyone is now agree with me that the Rockets' style of play is. Like clocking basketball, just as the world's agreed on that, the Thunder showed you beat it, which is just go even smaller. Like get rid of it. Billy Donovan is probably the second worst coach in my eyes after Doc Rivers, who both should have been fired in the bubble. But why does Billy Donovan play Stephen Adams 34 minutes? None of the Rockets could guard any of the guards on Thunder on ball.
For me. Billy Donovan just looked so bad at the end of that game when he couldn't draw up an inbounds play that even gets the ball in the court. Like with that first play, I know you can't see what the other team's going to play, but a lob to Steve standing unmarked at the hoop surely is on the cards. But anyway.
You've also got to question why Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was... inbounding, but you've got to have. I hate to play devil's advocate on every point, but I've got to come in there. Have the Thunder not had like an unbelievable season this year, massively overachieved? And doesn't some of that credit have to go to Billy Donovan?
I guess. Yeah. I don't really think so.
Now, to your point about Stephen Adams, he has no one. Like the Thunder only have three players, maybe Stephen Adams, who can score the ball.
Basically. They should have played Gallo at the five and played Baisley more minutes. And I just don't. No, honestly, what I don't know, Stephen Adams. What, like, I love the guy, and I'm sure in some series he has a place. He doesn't look right health wise, but also he's playing 34 minutes for what? He does. There's no rim protection.
You're an anti New Zealand.
You're an anti
New Zealand anti patriot, Stephen Adams. I thought he silenced you when he drove the lane on the first play of the game and dunked on all over the Rockets. It was awesome.
I agree.
It was weird that Adams played so many minutes, and it is weird they struggled with the inbound at the end. But that happens all the time in the NBA, though. It's just like doing a good inbound play to win the game is hard. I'm surprised no one's mentioned Chris Paul yet, because Chris Paul had a great game six, had a great series, and
Didn't we just spend like 5 minutes discussing Chris Paul?
Oh, no. Chris Paul, not his contract and not the trade. I mean, Chris Paul on the court. I mean, like, he kind of... I'm surprised he didn't get a bit of blowback for in Game 6 talking about how some players are born for the big moments and then coming out in Game 7. And don't get me wrong, he started the fourth quarter amazing and looked awesome and had a really good game. But then when it came to, you know, the final two or three positions of the game, he drove lazily to his right hand, through an almost intercepted pass to Shai Gilgeous, you know, a second or third year player, who then threw it out to Dort. And people are giving Dort a lot of shit, but I mean, Dort has never shot a contested three in the NBA in his life. All the threes he made in the game were wide open, and finally Harden charges him and makes the best play in Harden's history. You'll admit that block in that last play was pretty insane, and some of it's got to fall on Chris Paul and the coach for the ball ending up there, right?
Shocking. Shocking.
I'd just
play.
Like to say, Stephen Adams was contributing 0.3 blocks per game in the series, which was good for ninth on his team. So
what's that per 36, Paul? 0.3.
I thought it was. Give the Thunder at the start of the series. I thought the Thunder were going to get killed, and I'm just amazed that they. I picked the series to be 4-3 Rockets, but more because the Rockets were bad, and so you got to give them some credit for pushing the Rockets that far. But I've got to turn it on the Rockets now, because what a weird, like, closeout. And I mean, Harden not doing nothing to appease his critics by Harden, who seems to lack the confidence to go get the ball, even though he's normally such an alpha dog, amazing scorer. But not only that, just seemingly, like, wanting to delegate to, like, other players who just clearly don't have it, like Harden. This is your time to shine, and he just constantly shirks away from the spotlight, I feel.
So
there was this one play where I was like, man, if I was Chris Paul, I would have really clashed with Harden as well. Where, like, I feel like he does it quite a bit, where they're on attack, and he passes it to Westbrook, who slowly dribbles up the right hand side of the court, and Harden's just walking. And he's like not even over halfway. And so it's just so bizarre, because then Westbrook's there getting like double teamed down the side, and Harden's standing back at halfway. Like, they're playing 4-on-5. And I'm like, I just don't see. I guess he's there as like a sweeper to stop the fast break or something. It's just so bizarre.
It's the equivalent. That's exactly what I was going to say, Paul. It's the equivalent of, it would be the same for you guys. You know, if you're doing a specific project and you're working real hard, and then you end that, and you sort of just dial it in for a couple of days.
Yeah,
that's what he does. But every time he does like anything that's defensive, he's just like, oh, like I've earned it. And just, but exactly that. And you just see him; he doesn't even jog to get over halfway. I'd be so furious.
So and, I take. Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
I take my hat off to our podcast, because we were the only ones who borderline offensively joked about his weight at the start of the bubble, and then last week. And my only two excuses for the way Harden is playing is either he's just not in shape, or some sort of like,
well,
he's
here's
got
my
like
conspiracy.
Paul George level mental issues.
Here's my conspiracy. So I think have you heard the rumor that he had COVID?
I've heard that rumor. Yeah,
that's why he was late to the bubble. But I think the conspiracy is he got real out of shape over the lockdown, and then the Rockets like told him just come to the bubble late, and then they spread the rumor that he had COVID. But yeah, they don't, because they're just trying to cover up to the fact that he got in such shocking shape.
I really like that. I like to think that he got in shocking shape and he had COVID.
That would explain why online, when there was footage of him showing up and people were like, he looks skinny. And I was like, are you doing a gag? He looks so bad.
He looks awful. I think it's partly his haircut. He needs to go back to that fat. Like, I've never, ever thought the mohawk was cool. You know, like, you know the guy at high school that gets the mohawk, but he doesn't have the guts to shave the sides, and he sort of, like, just gels up the middle? I've never I've never found the mohawk cool. But now, like, Harden's the one guy who should have the mohawk. Because
his hair looks bad at the moment.
Awful.
I'm going to go back and do a deep dive and look at comments online of people saying he looked skinny and, like, look into their background and see if these are real people or if they're...
I love doing that on Reddit and Twitter, and it's so disappointing when you find out that they are real people and they're just crazy. The internet's that old 1,000 typewriters for 1,000 monkeys theory, where it's just, like, amazing the things... And it's why one of the reasons politics is so effed up now, because you can always find out, no matter what argument you want to make against the other side, you can always find a tweet, someone taking like the weirdest position that you just can't even believe someone would say that out loud on social media, that opinion will exist. And speaking of social media and speaking of, are you guys taking the piss? I hate it when Reddit is right. And I wanted to move to Heat Bucks, if that's all right, and just bring up the meme on Reddit that Steve Javy, just every time they go to him, he just agrees with what the refs have called on the floor. Which is not his job. His job is to point out what should have been called with the advantage of replay screens. And I just thought it was so pathetic when, and I was rooting for the Bucks. I picked them and I was disappointed that they were going to go down 2-0 when Middleton shot a long, bad, contested three and that European dude Dragic. Stood straight up and down. And yeah, he stepped towards him a little bit, but he was just so straight. He was like a tree. He was like a tall sequoia tree, so straight, fingers pointed like a gymnast landing a flip. And the fact that was called a foul was crazy. I was happy about it because I wanted to see a game go to overtime, but I just could not believe that was a foul. And then I could not believe when they pulled out Steve Javy and he goes, yep, that's a foul. I'm just like, I'm in a parallel dimension, and I have to agree with Ritter on this one.
Yeah, but Jabby's right, though, right, on a technical term, right? Because if you watch it, I agree, it's ridiculous. But in slow-mo, it looks really bad. But in normal speed, you can see, even though he's straight up, he's going with forward momentum into the shooter's space.
Yeah, I reckon the shooter was jumping more into his space. Like, it was like...
Yeah, it's such a grey area, right, where it's like... Was he moving, like, did the shooter, it's just, like, what came first? Like, was he there or was the shooter, it's hard to say, but...
The shooter was jumping into his space.
The thing that annoyed me was there was a guy in one group chat I'm in who was like, that's definitely a foul. And then he was like saying that the Giannis one then wasn't a foul because Giannis wasn't moving. And I was like, what are you talking about? Giannis was definitely moving more.
So good on Middleton for hitting three free throws. Because I always think even for good free throw shooters, that can be quite tricky sometimes. It's the fact you've got to hit three, two.
Yeah.
And the game was crazy. And then Jimmy Butler does the classic Jimmy Butler shot, which he's been making since the Bulls days. He's won games with it. He does a fadeaway where he just like, he wants to make it so dramatic that he almost like plays up the drama of it by... He wants to die after he's released the shot. And he did it. It was great. It was great defense. I felt like Giannis even put his hand on Jimmy Butler to try and stop him from falling over. But Jimmy's like, nah, man, I'm a hero. I'm going down. There was no foul there whatsoever. If there was any contact, it was way after the shot and almost to help Jimmy Butler not hurt himself on his mental fadeaway. Surely that wasn't a foul either.
But Giannis, there was too, like, it was too, like, demonstrative the way he, like, sprinted over there straight at him. Even if he hadn't touched him, it would have looked like a foul.
Yeah, just, but also, I think again, they would, like, I thought it was more the landing space thing again. They were saying, we've been calling this all game. Well, we called it once earlier with Andre Iguodala. We called it then with Chris Middleton. You can't land under where someone's shooting it.
I just think too often... the reaction, and this is, I mean, I don't want to get into flopping too early, but like my boy Kyle Lowry's flopping all around the place. We've got to talk about that guy from the Celtics, Marcus Smart, who did one of the most legendary flops of all time. Where I loved for it. People who didn't see
loved
it,
it.
It's Pascal Siak. I think it's is it Fred Van Vliet, like a Raptors player in front of everyone, no one in front of him doing an uncontested layup. Pascal Siakam running behind him just in case to get the rebound, just in case the freak situation. And Marcus Smart runs into Pascal Siakam like a suicide bomber and hits the ground.
Well, it was great. It worked.
It worked. I was like, this is genius.
He knew it was the only play. He was like, I've got half a second until he lays this ball in. What's the way to stop him? There's only one way, and it's to draw an offensive foul. And he pulled it off, and then sadly... obviously it got reviewed and taken away.
And he got fined.
He got fined and called for a foul.
Am I correct in thinking, Paul, that you and I are up there with Marcus Smart's worldwide biggest fans?
I stand Marcus Smart.
So I love him so much.
A future Paul Williams song mentions Marcus Smart.
Oh man,
I enjoyed that flop. Like that was flop innovation technology to the highest level, and what a play. What a play. And speaking of Marcus Smart, sorry, I've gone off the Heat versus Bucks. I've gone mental here, but like hitting five threes. I don't like Marcus Smart in that, but that was unbelievable.
I love all cynical foul hunters. And that, not to go back to the Rockets, there was a point at the near the end of the game where Chris Paul again just got a foul on Robert Covington, or attempted to, which is just like so unnecessary, but just so amazing, like that he... It sometimes, again, just at times, would rather take the foul than win the game.
Yeah, he drew that. I think the refs do need to get smarter because, I mean, it's really highlighted this playoffs where, like, a couple of the worst offenders, Harden, who's actually been the best of the lot, obviously the OG, but then Smart, who's the current king, Kyle Lowry and Chris Paul, who are right behind him, like, have just done some outrageous bullshit. What about Chris Paul at the end of the half, dribbling away from the hoop to draw a crazy flop over to get some free throws at the end of the half on Covington? Like,
that's what I'm talking about. So the difference with Harden though is Harden's ones are cynical, but it's in an attacking play. Like, I don't have a problem with it at all because you can't stop him without fouling. That's just on you. But what Kyle Lowry and Chris Paul's the worst at it is actually take things away from a basketball. Like, it's not a basketball play. He's doing the opposite of what you should do just to get a cynical foul.
Yeah. Oh, Lillard's the other one. He's more of the Harden camp. But yeah, it's comical. And you do think the refs need to lift the bar, like know these players, know Lowry, know Smart, and when you go into that series, and know that like if they hit the ground, you've got to be very suspicious because the chance of it being an honest foul at the moment seems like 3% because they just will just fall over at any contact, especially the scenario, especially if it's late in the shot clock. You just know that's all they're thinking in their head. And I don't enjoy it and think it should be punished.
Guy, are you suggesting that the refs engage some sort of profiling?
I think they need to. Yeah, I stole this from Nate Duncan, the NBA analyst. But I think that the refs need to watch tape and learn that, like, for a couple of players, you've got to see the player who's going down. Because, I mean, I'm a Raptors fan, and seeing Lowry do it sometimes is just, like, he really does take advantage. And what's annoying about Chris Paul and Lowry as well, it's like, they don't just sell the contact, they literally end the position. Like, they will fall to the ground to say either there's going to be a foul here, you've got to blow your whistle, or it's a turnover or like the worst play of all time. They really put it on the refs' shoulders, and the refs are falling for it too often, I think.
Speaking of refs, Scott Foster, I'd love to talk to you guys about Scott Foster real quick. So when I went to the Rockets last year, I was sandwiched in between, so it was Travis Scott in front of me.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Yeah, big time.
Houston royalty.
Yeah. This teenager beside me because I don't know who Travis Scott is, and I still really don't know who he is. But
I don't know who he is. I've heard of his name.
Yeah, I just know him from that incident. But this kid next to me took off his shoes during the game, and I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? like a teenager, and just had his shoes, holding his shoes for ages. And I was like, I was trying to find out what's happening from this other guy on the other side, and he didn't know. And then
were
I saw
nice
him lean.
Shoes?
No, shocking. Like, oh, wow. They weren't gross.
And are these expensive seats? Are these like close to the court?
Yeah. This is like a couple of rows back. Like I was just behind.
So
Joel,
it's a rich kid.
Yeah, definitely. And so he handed his shoes to Travis Scott, who signed them, and then this kid just held his shoes again. And then I was just fascinated watching him watching him leave the arena just in his socks. But anyway, that's not my story. The guy behind me. Was the biggest loudmouth I've ever heard. And I had no idea about the Scott Foster beef with Chris Paul and Harden. And this kid was just yelling, "Faster, faster, you can't, you're out to get him, faster," the whole time. And but I never thought to look into it. And last night did look into it. And it's crazy.
They just haven't won a game.
I don't believe Foster's actually doing anything. I just think he's saying stuff, but he's not actually calling it.
So JT, just for a start, can I just say I love your voices. I still can't get out of my head you doing Mario Hezonja saying that's a bucket.
Oh, thanks.
And I love your impersonation of that kid going faster, faster. But there's so for people who don't know, Foster apparently mentioned that he to Chris Paul that he reffed his previous Game 7 loss when he like 10 years ago, which is a crazy thing to remember. Foster reffed the controversial Game 7 Warriors versus Rockets, where the refs seemed to swallow their whistle on major fouls, normally against James Harden shooting a three, which I was happy at the time because I was like, I'm sick of James Harden drawing 3-point fouls. That was the narrative, but it was still crazy the calls the refs didn't make.
I briefly looked into Scott Foster, and it seems like he was definitely what's the guy's name? Oh, Tim Donahue. I want to say Brett Kavanaugh there. Tim Donahue, who was rigging NBA games for gambling syndicates or whatever. Yeah. He would phone Scott Foster a suspicious amount of times, and it would be like this. It would be like he would call the booking, like the gambling bookie guy, and then he would call Scott Foster, and then they would ref games separately, and then he would call Scott Foster after the game. Like, it's so, and he would he claimed that it was just locker room banter. And he was like, we would call each other all the time to talk about, I could list all kinds of things. Family. Who's prettier out of Betty or Yvonne or something? It was like, I was like, who's Betty and Yvonne? And then
I think Betty's prettier.
I think I'm team Yvonne.
Nah, I'm Yvonne. Love Yvonne.
But anyway,
no
it definitely
Yvonne
like
Yvonne who's not 75 years old.
So I've got a theory, Paul.
Yeah.
I've got a really half-baked theory, but I agree. I think Scott Foster is bent. But I think there's a whole lot of
Scientology. Is it the Scientology theory?
No Scientology. So here's my. So apparently, Chris Paul and the NBA and the Refs Association had some sort of mediation about it. It's that bad that they all got in a room together, and Chris Paul requested that Scott Foster not ref his games. But I think that the refs union got involved and were like, we all agree Scott Foster's a jerk and probably is on the take, but we can't give in to this. Because then players will request it all the time.
Yeah.
But he looks like a real greaser.
Hey, JT, I don't know why you're saying it's a half-baked take. That sounds like a fully baked cake to me. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
My theory was that Scott Foster had something on the NBA, and it was like Scientology, where they couldn't fire him because he had this, whatever this info was, and he was like, I'll go out about that thing. That was, I thought, where you were going.
Jabby, if something happened to Scott Foster, like, one of the refs got sick, and they're like, oh, we can't continue. Do you think Jabby could come down and, like, what's stopping him? Jabby looks younger than some of the refs in the league.
You know, Jebby is stuck in hell in a TV room in Secaucus, New Jersey. Eh? Like he's not. Jebby isn't able to. He's not at the games.
Oh, that's sad.
But if he did, he would just agree with whatever the other two refs are saying anyway. I will agree that while I like to conspiracize about reffing all the time, reffing is just bloody hard. And like, it's easy to turn anything into conspiracy theory where there's so many calls that are missed every game. And it is just an absolute shit show out there, especially now in the bubble. It seems especially bad. What appeal want to go to next?
Should we... do we want to talk about Jazz...
Nuggets,
and then do a little preview?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, and I got a quick Magic Mayhem.
Did not see that coming. I just can't believe that Utah and Denver, for a whole series, were like, I'm just going to let a guy flame us in the same way that we're flaming them. Like, it was weird that both teams couldn't stop their own hero ball strategy against each other for 7 games, and I found it quite cathartic that game 7, while it was like such an ugly game, I was just glad it wasn't just hero ball, no double teams, letting these guys go off in the same way, because it was a very weird series. Questionable defense, but thrillingly entertaining, and holy shit, what a performance by Mitchell and Murray. That was amazing.
Murray has arrived big time.
Love him. Absolutely love him.
I really love him as well. I think he's got one of the best speaking voices in the NBA. Like, did you guys see that clip where he found out that they had to play again in two days?
Amazing.
And he's just like, we play on Thursday? He's got such a soft Canadian voice. I love it. I could listen to him talk all day.
I'm the opposite. I've never liked him, but I'm amazed.
No, I'm kind of the same.
Contract already.
I used to not like him. I thought he was like, I don't know. I just got a weird vibe from him where I just automatically assumed he was a real jerk.
Same.
I don't know what it was about him, but I was just like, this guy's the absolute worst. If I met this guy, I would hate him. I had no evidence to back that up, but he's really won me over. He seems nice. I watched a clip of him. Like, you know how they play things? Actually, I might have been watching a Denver broadcast, and before the game they went into it or something. But it was him back home in Canada, I think, in the park with his dad and what I think was his little brother, but he was very young. Like, there was a huge age gap. And they were at the park where he used to train with his dad. And his dad is crazy. So his dad would, like, just be so tough on him and be, like, just drilling him. And like, if he missed a free throw, he had to run over and run up this hill. And... I mean, it doesn't sound that crazy now, but they were playing the snow. I'm trying to think of more things to make it sound crazy.
I know the story, Paul. Isn't there one about him? Because I heard it during the game, and the commentator, because I really like listening to the home commentators, and they were telling it like it's a sweet story, and it sounded like child abuse. I think he had to shoot free throws in the snow.
Yeah,
and if he missed,
snow.
He couldn't come inside or something.
It sounded full on. And in the clip as well, the dad was letting off quite a hectic energy, and they also said, I think when he was young he made him meditate as well so he could be mentally strong for the game.
I think the reason he got the douchebag reputation was he in that controversial game where, like, I think his team was losing or something like that, but he had like 40 points and he kept on scoring and staying in the game.
His team won and he took a shot at the end. And Kyrie went and got the ball that he would have wanted, because it was like a career game. And Kyrie hiffed it up into the stands.
Good times. Welcome back, Kyrie. But yeah, I do think though that there's, I mean, maybe we'll get to the predictions, but I do think there's rough waters ahead for Murray, as I feel like he's going to get dominated. He's a bit injured now. Did Joe Ingles? I didn't see the footage. Did Joe Ingles cheap shot him to get that contusion?
Well, I didn't see the footage, but I believe he did.
I thought I watched it, and I think it seemed okay. Like, he didn't even really move that much. He kind of just, like, his knee just went into his thigh or whatever, and he kind of tripped him.
Joe Ingles has a few dirty plays in his career.
Definitely.
And speaking of dirty plays, who's the Clippers guy? One of the Morris brothers. I think it's Morris Sr. I don't know why one of them is senior now. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he had a,
he had a child.
He had a child and named him Marcus Morris Jr.
Yeah.
Or Marcus
well,
Morris Jr.
Him whacking Doncic in the head was ludicrous. Like a horrific non-NBA foul. I think he should have got a suspension for that. And I'm rooting for the Clippers. But like that was horrific. And but I am kind of glad, this sounds weird, like I'm victim blaming, but I'm kind of glad that the white power Mavs, a team that unbelievably often has three white players on the court. It's crazy. They got four white players that play major minutes and three on the court. It's just unbelievable to see. It was becoming weird in the climate of Black Lives Matter that, and the white boy comment and stuff like that. It was just becoming really toxic.
You can finish your thought.
I was just saying it was just awkward that I love Luka, I love the Mavs, but we had to get them out of the playoffs because they were becoming like a symbol of white supremacy. And it was, did anyone else, is it, I know it's
were
a weird
they?
Take. I honestly think they were, yeah. Like it stems back to like a bunch of like people from conservative Reddit getting into NBA Reddit after the white boy comment, and then the next game saying N-words about the Clippers, and the Clippers obviously being one of the more less I don't even know how to describe it, but they're one of the more just like less acceptable to white people teams. I'm digging myself into a hole here, but what can I say? Between Montrezl Harrell and Marcus Morris Sr., whatever the F his name is, like there was just a really awkward dynamic where Luka looked like this amazing, like chosen one white boy. Like I just found it. Did no one else feel this? Am I
nah.
well off here?
I don't think he gets the great white hope. That's what you're really talking about, right? Like the fact that there's always like a historically, if there's a white guy in a team, especially like Boston, it's the great white hope phenomena. I didn't really get that.
But not just that. Not just that. Just like the fact that people were ruining the game thread on Reddit with the N-word and stuff like that.
Yeah, but here's your problem. Just stay off Reddit.
Yeah, but I don't know. Reddit's normally not like that. Like it's not that I go on game threads and they're normally pretty trash, but I just thought it was an awkward thing, and I just kind of wish that Mavs would get a few more black players. I don't know what my solution is, but I find them awkward.
I only go on Reddit to post Easter eggs for Paul to find on the Magic. Really? And he never does. Yeah, I've got some.
I saw one the other day that I thought sounded like you. It was like, it was someone just talking about how like one player like looked really cool. And I was like, that sounds like JT. It was like some, like he had some accessory and their post was just like, I find this a very cool look. And I was like, this is probably JT. But,
yeah, I don't think you'll ever find me, but maybe one day you will.
Or you went very quiet when I accused you of being that Cobra Kai.
Nah, that wasn't me.
Username.
I wish.
I just thought it was kind of crazy when the strike, NBA strike happened, suddenly all the white European players started hanging out and having
drinks together. Now that was weird.
that was
strange. And really, do you know what? Do you know what? The widest thing of all that, like the fact that Vucevic was wearing a towel only. It's just the most, like, I would have easily believed
he was wearing a towel only.
He was no shorts. Like he just gone straight from the pool, popped open a Stella Artois and hit a chicken burger.
But
it's the most Euro trash thing you could even do.
For listeners, he was wearing a shirt.
Oh yeah, shirt,
and presumably had something on under the towel.
I didn't envision a shirt when I heard what JT was saying.
When I hit towel only, I think towel only. But it was also weird how he was sitting there eating like a burger and fries and no one else was eating.
Yeah, that means that's his second burger.
You reckon?
Definitely.
I reckon he came late. I think my theory is he definitely wasn't invited and he was like swimming and then he was walking past and he was like, "Oi, what are you guys up to?" And they're like, "We are having party," and he was like,
"Did you not
okay.
get the text?
Having party?"
and
There are a few real bad omissions there, right?
What do you mean?
Like a few white European players left out, which I thought was quite cruel.
Yeah.
Because I got a bucket. Oh, you know, that's a bucket. He wasn't there.
Hizonia, yeah.
Porzingis wasn't there. Zubac.
Guys, we got 6 or 7 minutes left before JT has to jump off the call.
Just quickly, before we move on from Denver, I just thought up a nickname for Paul Millsap. I don't know if anyone said it, but the campaign, because the back of his shirt, it says vote for Millsap now. You know how they put their names on
great.
The bottom.
That is good.
So call him the campaign, because it's also like you're on a campaign to win a title or whatever.
Or at some point, someone's got to explain to me why, who's that guy, Iguodala, who in my secret opinion might be a massive idiot, has written like market economics or something on the back of his shirt.
Group economics
or whatever.
Now, I think Iggy's actually, I think a lot of, you know, a lot of, it's not just basketballers, but a lot of, and it's actually not just sports stars, it's people like Elon Musk, right, who's not smart at all, in my opinion, just a grifter. But people that are celebrities often get, you know, if there's sort of like one per cohort, they get the tag of being like the real smart one.
Yeah.
But from my research, Iguodala is the smart one.
Wow. And
he's super clued up. And when they had those player only meetings, he was like, you know, about the strike, he was like, look, these are some things we could actually do. There's this specific piece of legislation going through in California right now, you know, like,
wow, okay,
legislation
okay.
748 that we should be getting people to vote on, stuff like that.
Well, I'd love to talk about that another time, because I just don't understand what group economics is whatsoever. And if you have a message in the back of your shirt, you think you'd make it clear.
He's got us talking about it.
I also don't
know what it is.
Very quick Magic Mayhem, Paul. Go for it.
It's that time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out.
Sit down. I used to be jealous of wearing a follow.
We're taking every game personal.
I'm about
Elfrey. This is Chumo Kiki, and you're listening to Magic Mayhem with Paul Williams.
You're magic. Okay, JT, if you need to leave at any stage, feel free. I just wanted to talk about NBA jerseys briefly, because I finally got a new phone. And so I've managed to, because on my old phone, I couldn't download it. I've downloaded the Nike Connect app, which sync with my jerseys. And I can talk about these new benefits that I have on my phone. So I scanned this Magic jersey, and it came up and it had the Magic logo. It's kind of cool. And now that I'm in, it's so there's two options, either the Magic logo or a jersey. If I go to the jersey, it says Paul Williams, one game day tap-in, and it's got a picture of the jersey. And then it just has every Magic result down below. And then if I go to the Magic logo, it has their last game.
This just seems unbelievably stupid, right?
It has their last game score, and it has a bunch of GIFs from the game that don't work. And the first one, I think, is Giannis dunking on the Magic. but again, it doesn't work. But then if you scroll down, you see some Bucks versus Heat GIFs from their last game. And that's it. That's the app.
Do you think that Nike is going to use this so they can like send drones around to scan to see who's wearing real and fake jerseys? Like they've shipped the jerseys.
Well, that's my next point.
To find out who's wearing fakes.
Okay. Two nights ago, I was on Facebook Messenger chatting with some friends. I had an ad in there. You know how there's ads in Messenger now or whatever. And it was for Wish, the jersey sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers, possibly the most famous basketball team in the world. And
Harlem Globetrotters.
Good point. Good point. Or the Toon Squad. Mm.
They're more universe.
Yeah. But it was advertising Ja Morant teal Nike Swingman jersey for like $35 or something. And I was like, that's crazy. So I clicked on it and it made me download the app. But I was like, I've got to investigate this. Downloaded it. What I found was like Wish, the jersey sponsor of the Lakers, seems to be selling a ton, Like, the main thing they sell is fake NBA jerseys. Is that not crazy?
Is it confirmed fake?
It seemed the prices were way too cheap, and they were selling, like, Memphis Grizzlies jerseys I'd never seen before. There was one that was, like, white with, like, all the silver on it, and I was like, I don't think that's even
option. It seems very fake. My only thought is, Paul, is there any, are they selling all teams or just Memphis Grizzlies?
No, I searched other teams. There was what appeared to be fake Magic jerseys.
Because that'd be pretty cool to buy a fake Lakers Wish jersey from Wish.
Why don't you scan it with the Nike app?
Yeah, to see if it's real. That's a good point, actually.
Paul, you've got great points. Just before JT's got to go any second now. JT, final words. Do you have anything else you want to there before you
got
to
go? I've got a final word. I love Lou Dort, and I was pulling for the Thunder, but honestly, could we have survived a Thunder Lakers series? I don't think so. We got the result that we needed. Not wasn't what we wanted, but it's what we needed. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you, Lou Dort. Goodbye.
Cheers, JT.
Bye. Okay, my last piece of while we're talking jerseys. So the NBA store is currently selling Timofey Mozgov Orlando Magic jerseys for, with shipping, New Zealand dollars, $144. And it's not even an on-court authentic. It's a swingman.
What?
And it's on sale. And this is a guy who never played a game for the Orlando Magic.
So you're saying $140 for a Timofey Mozgov swingman?
Well, it's 120. It's, wait. Yeah, a Nike swingman jersey. I've written it in a document. I've got a screenshot
for
as well.
For Americans, that's like more than full price. And
nah. That's,
well, how much does a swingman normally cost?
Well, it's $78 American, and at the time of writing this, I think that would have been 120 New Zealand dollars.
So it's more than full price.
No, it's not more than full price. Full price, they've got it crossed out as $85.90. So it's $7 American off. And this
for
is
a
guy
who hasn't played for the Magic in like 10 years.
No, has never played for the Magic. He was on the team, but he never played a single game.
Wow.
So he never wore this jersey, and he is not in the league, and he's Timofey Mozgov.
Yeah.
So is that not crazy?
That is crazy.
You should be selling, you should be paying me to take this jersey off your hands to clear up warehouse space.
But let's be honest, Paul, you want that jersey though, don't you?
Well, I guess now.
I would want a Timofey Mozgov Atlanta Magic jersey, especially if it's a good, is it a cool, one of their good uniforms, or is it a bit of a shitter?
It's just blue. It's just the standard blue or the standard white or the
a bit of a shitter. I get you.
Actually, the black one, oh no, that's youth.
No, I have the same, I noticed the same thing about the Raptors, where they have like the Nike store, the only authentic jersey you can ever get from Nike or NBA.com is, I don't know if they use the same warehouse or what's going on, but they both just have authentic DeRozans who got traded like 2 years ago now at least. Mm. And it's not discounted at all. And what's going on?
At least that makes sense in the fact that DeRozan's like
a
club legend. But Timofey Mozgov, there is not a single Magic fan who is like, man, remember Timofey Mozgov.
No, but so my theory is that they've just got really bad jersey sale management kind of thing, and it's just weird because the NBA must sell so many jerseys, but I guess they just only sell LeBron, Lakers, and Steph Curry, Warriors, and they just don't, and just round the fringes it's like you just don't sell that many Kyle Lowry jerseys, so why bother? It's just kind of weird because I also find getting authentics is really hard as well. The only player that's widely available in authentics is DeRozan and Donovan Mitchell. And don't get me wrong, Donovan Mitchell's good, but it's just quite weird.
On Team Store, surely you can get anyone authentic, right? That you can just
customize. No, you have. Well, yeah, but they don't just have it there. They don't just have it. They just have a few players ready. They printed a lot of Kevin Durant authentics, actual game jerseys for the Warriors. It's funny how many of those they had to offload. But yeah, it's just, I don't know what's going on with the NBA, but it's just weird how they sell jerseys. It's crazy.
Hmm. Anyway, that's the end of Jersey chat. Magic mayhem.
Do you want to
player of the week, Timofey Mozgov? Right.
Shout out, well deserved.
Yeah, getting those. Do
you want to just a couple of minor stories and then a couple of light predictions from us before we finish?
Yeah. Okay.
So Steve Nash, that was bombshell today. Steve Nash coaching the Brooklyn Nets.
Wait, has that been announced?
Yeah.
Wow, big story today. First hearing of that, Steve Nash.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's. I like that.
We get a live reaction. Yeah, it was. It happened a few hours ago. Now it's the top story on Reddit. Pretty crazy though.
Well, I just love that they're not just doing.
Yeah, it's
you know how it bugs me that they just always bring back the same guy who's had three chances and not done anything and.
But Steve Nash is not only like out of nowhere. He's like, he was like a skills coach with the Warriors. But like most recently, his job's been like an MLS soccer commentator. Like it's pretty weird.
Yeah, but like, I feel like he's like a high IQ basketball guy, right? How he weaves his way around the court.
It's an interesting trend in coaching now, where Juventus, the soccer team, just did this as well.
Just while I'm on that, I guess I would have said the same thing about Jason Kidd. I would have been like, he was a high IQ basketball player.
Yeah. I think it's bad. I think talented, like, not many of the – I'm just trying to think of which coach would have been the best player back in the day. Maybe Doc Rivers, and he was like just a role player for the Hawks, really. Like, I'm just trying to think of who was a good – I only really know Doc Rivers as a basketball player because he would appear on Michael Jordan highlights talking about how awesome Michael Jordan's dunks were against him. Like when he was still young, that is. He was very good looking back in the day, Doc Rivers. He's not aged super well, in my opinion.
His voice is in real bad way.
That was a weird take from me.
Like,
but,
he sounds like Kermit, but Kermit's
pretty
like,
bad for him to be at the Rockets game the other day to watch his son, who he has an awkward relationship with, and his son misses all his shots, plays 7 minutes, including missing a wide open breakaway dunk, which made me question whether Austin Rivers can actually dunk. But anyway, I mean, just brutal series for him. But back to Steve Nash, though. There's this weird trend in professional sports now, more and more, like so many major soccer teams now. If you look at like, who coaches Chelsea? Is it Lampard? Like Villa, but now Juventus, just out of nowhere. Promoted one of the club's biggest ever in a year where they like it's like cutthroat, like win or go home for Juventus. Quite, almost similar to the Brooklyn Nets in a
way they just got Suarez, right?
They acquired Suarez, but they promoted as their coach Andreas Pirlo, who's an amazing player, like almost Steve Nash type. He played until he was 40 because he's such a good distributor, like awesome player, very handsome, awesome guy. I don't know why I'm always just commenting on people's looks now, that's unusual. But Pirlo is, I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. That's how little about soccer I know. But he actually was quoted before, because he took the job of Juventus under 23's coach. And he said, I want to start here. I don't like this trend of coaches, former players taking up huge positions straight away without any experience. So he wanted to start with the Juventus under 23's. And then the next week, without ever coaching a game or taking a training session in his life, he got promoted to the most important and high-pressure job in all of Italy and probably the Champions League. It's kind of crazy, and that's what Steve Nash is doing now too.
Yeah, wow. But I was looking at Juventus last night, not to go down too far down a football route, but they've just got Suarez. Is that not a big story?
I guess it's pretty big, but they're just going to be this weird Frankenstein monster old person team.
The thing though that was interesting to me though was how from the World Cup, whatever year that was, 2014 maybe, when he bit the Italian guy, Cialini, he's now on his team.
That's awful. But also Suarez, speaking of people who I think are idiots, that guy and his racism scandals, I just don't like that guy at all, even though it is cool that he bites people and he has very bad teeth and he kind of looks like a vampire and a werewolf, and he's also bites people. That's cool.
I rewatched the video and it is insane. He runs up behind the guy, bites him on the shoulder and the guy falls over in pain, obviously, like trying to sell it and draw attention to it. But Suarez also falls over in pain and he's there being like, my teeth, I've injured my teeth. And like the audacity to try and get a penalty after biting a guy's shoulder. Like, then it got even crazier because Chiellini or whatever, he later in an interview said he respected the move. He respected the bite. And he was like, I respect the cunningness of it.
Soccer players are mental, eh?
Yeah, okay. Enough football.
It does make me wonder, though, because like this NBA playoff so far, like coaching, I feel, has been such a huge part of it. But you wonder like how much coaching they do. Like as I thought when I smashed you guys in the argument about the Thunder coach Donovan, I thought you guys, your best way to get revenge on me would have been I was just joking. But we had the argument about whether Donovan was a good coach, and you guys said he was trash because he drew up. He couldn't get an inbounds play going.
Yeah, I don't know if he's. I just kind of went silent because I haven't really seen enough Thunder games. I just thought
my point is that he did have a really good year, but it's like is that him or is that him? Is that Chris Paul? And you do wonder that. It's like Ty Lue looks like he's going to be coaching the 76ers now. I think most people are saying that's a good hire, but in my mind, LeBron was coaching he's just a LeBron manager and not an actual coach. But we'll find out soon enough. But yeah, Steve Nash definitely, he at least has to be a good player manager to get those superstars in order at Brooklyn. We've got to briefly talk, and I'm sad JT's not here to talk about it. Paul, I know you are not a big LeBron flat fan anyway, but the LeBron tweet was quite funny or quite weird, where LeBron famously normally goes quiet during social media during the playoffs, but this playoffs he has not done that. And he got into this petty argument with Richard Jefferson and Scottie Pippen and Jay Williams, where Jay Williams said that LeBron in the Heat days was the Scottie Pippen to Dwayne Wade. And I mean, that's quite a big, for most people being called Scottie Pippen would not be an insult, but to LeBron it is definitely an insult. And LeBron actually weighed in, and it wasn't even that big a tweet. And Jay Williams isn't that respected a commentator. I mean, he does work for ESPN, but LeBron replied with, explain to me what the FUX I got to do with this subject matter. FUX is a pretty weird thing to write, but also subject matter is just a weird thing to way to describe the situation with the subject matter, like so formal. I'm over here minding my damn business, preparing for Houston. LeBron, you're always minding your damn business. People talk about you. That's the thing about being a professional superstar. And by the way, I ain't been nobody. Don't say by the way. This is obviously the main thing you want to talk about. LeBron says, and by the way, I ain't never been nobody but my damn self. Shit. So LeBron obviously quite worked up by this minor Twitter feud. It was kind of funny and weird to see.
His, LeBron is weird on social media. Like his Instagram is bizarre. Wacky. Yeah, is incredibly whack. Like
at least you know he's doing it himself. It's kind of
recently I saw someone do like a parody of it, and it made me laugh. And then as I was reading the comments, I realized the people were like, "Oh, that made me cringe." And I was like, "No way! I wish I could find it." And I went to his Instagram, and it was just the most recent post he'd done. It was the caption he'd written, and it was just really cringe with like all these hashtags, real embarrassing hashtags. But anyway,
it's just I can understand, and especially because even if you rise above it most of the time, which I think LeBron James generally, considering the amount of conspiracy theories and chat and shit talk that he gets, he does a pretty good job of rising above it. It's just funny when just obviously you're just like at the gym or just casually checking your mentions for a time, and you see Jay Williams, who is an ESPN analyst, saying stuff. I don't like Jay Williams at all, really, as a commentator, but as a hot take artist. But speaking of hot takes, let's just finish off with a couple of wild predictions. And obviously, two of these games are already. One game's happening right now as we speak, Celtics Raptors game 3. But like some of these series are already 2-0 in the bag. But I just wanted to hear what do you think in Celtics Raptors?
Raptors will bounce back. It's going to seven. That I'm sure.
Whoa!
Of. Oh, is that a bold? Is that a bold pick? So we did brackets before the playoff started, and for me this was the one I struggled with the most, and I left it blank until the very end. And Celtics Raptors. Celtics Raptors. Really struggled with it, and eventually I just decided, I was like, the Raptors have experience, older players, just veterans. They'll win it in seven, I think is what I put, Raptors in seven. So I'm going to stick with it and say Raptors bounce back.
Do you find picking a bracket or making a bet on a game or something like that? Because I find with me, it's negatively influencing me, because instead of just enjoying the game, like normally I would never root for the Nuggets. I don't like the Jazz much either, but I'd always pick them over the Nuggets. But in game seven, just because I picked the Nuggets to win the series, I found myself, I was just rooting for my predictions to be right rather than who I actually feel. So I feel like that's bad. I support the Raptors normally and feel like they're in a bad hole, and they should have won game two probably. But I'm going to say the same thing about the Heat Bucks as well. Like, if the Raptors can come back strong in game three, then it's all on Donkey Kong. But the problem of them having to win four and five games, and I know they've done it before, but last year they had Kawhi and they figured the Bucks out. I think the Celtics have probably got it now, but I hope it goes to six or seven.
Meanwhile, the Heat, that's done. Let's go home.
Wow.
I mean, that was already my prediction, and it's in my bracket. I actually had Heat over Bucks in seven, but I don't even think it goes to seven.
Yeah, again, it's the same stupid thing I said there, and I do hate when people say this, but it is just hard for the Bucks to win four out of five. But again, if the Bucks can smash the Heat game three, do you not think everyone all of a sudden will be going, the Bucks are back, they've figured it out, they've got their groove? It is weird that Budenholzer is doing a reverse Tom Thibodeau and not playing his stars enough and like resting. Like, what is Giannis resting for the off season? I saw a comment on Reddit that was like, they're resting Giannis for the Bucks are resting for the upcoming summer league. Why is Giannis not playing all the time? Why is Middleton not playing all the time?
He does seem to get in foul trouble most games. So I think there's that. Like, wasn't he had three fouls, pretty like first half fouls, I think.
It's pretty funny for the MVP. I wanted to go hard on Giannis, but we never really talked about Heat versus Bucks, because I think he's got to take some pretty big shit for the way the Bucks are going, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but
the two-time MVP.
Yeah. For me, though, they were, and I've said it all along, I believe what I said was a castle built on sand.
Yeah.
What's the quote from the Coldplay song? And then you discovered is something was.
Don't do it live.
Pillars of salt and pillars of sand. That's the Bucks. And they're just, I think, easy to figure out. And I don't want to say they play kind of gimmicky. And I don't know if. Yeah, he's got to take some blame, but they play a different style where it's like more. I think Budenholzer needs to take more of the blame. I don't know.
Budenholzer is definitely looking bad. I think as is Nick Nurse, where these like regular season coaches. I guess Nick Nurse won the championship last year, so. But I mean, being coach of the year and just seeing to getting out coached two games in a row, in my opinion, seems a bit awkward. But Budenholzer definitely had that bad reputation with the Hawks of being an awesome coach who just like couldn't do shit in the playoffs. And now again, they just seem to have, yeah, you're right, major structural problems. But I like got to put some of it on Giannis not being able to shoot and not being able to pass. And it's just crazy how he does his five-step Euro steps into the lane like he does, and everyone talks about how great his big steps are. And then the Heat just get a short, fast guy to get in front of him so he can't get to the bucket. And now he's got a pass, and there's open three-point shooters, but he just can't get a good pass to them. And if he does get it to them, it's like at their feet or way out to the side, and they can't knock down shots. And so that's the ball game right there. I do think the Bucks can bounce back, but it's got to happen right now, ASAP.
Yeah, right.
Clips versus Nuggets. This is the first game where there hasn't been a game played yet. The first game's today.
Clips Nuggets. I think people are maybe sleeping on the Nuggets a little bit. I know they haven't. They looked kind of shaky.
You're saying pretty much everyone is picking Clips in four, Clips in five.
Yeah, everyone's. I think like the Nuggets could do some damage there. I don't know what I put in my bracket, but I mean
It's interesting because on paper the Clips seem a lot better, but they have been playing. Yeah, you're right. Shaky. It's interesting from Paul George because I'd be like, oh yeah, great. He'll get to go up against like Michael Porter Jr. or someone trash, and he'll get to destroy. But I was like, last game he couldn't do shit against Tim Hardaway Jr. And now he's going to get like Gary Harris or someone. Like, I'm really interested in the Paul George storyline. Like, I'm picking the Clips to win, and I assume he'll bounce back. But I was like, Gary Harris, even though he can't play because he can't shoot a three, on defense is like formidable. And I don't know. I was just interested to see if Paul George can bounce back. But more to the point, I think Murray is probably going to get found out a bit in this series with the Clippers having so many good perimeter defenders who are massive. And
I don't know if you can find out just amazing shooting though.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Like, look at the way Dort shut down Harden. Like, I don't know, you just
yeah, but some guys. Harden's more one a player I think you find out.
I'm like, Harden's the most dominant offensive player ever. I'm like just amazed that he couldn't do shit. And I'm like, is he mentally struggling? I just couldn't figure it out.
No, but such a big part of his game is like getting foul calls. And yeah. For me, it seemed more like Murray just like couldn't miss, like no matter what defense was doing, there'd just be spells.
Well,
where every time
they didn't really, they didn't really, Utah didn't really have any good perimeter defenders to throw on him. And, and the Clippers do. Like if he goes up against Kawhi, what is he going to do? He's going to get destroyed.
What? So you just think Kawhi is just going to block it every time? I just think,
yeah, I honestly think just challenge the shot well enough. Like I think Paul George, Kawhi, like there's enough players there. I mean, part of the it's not really Murray's fault that the Nuggets are, I mean, a bit like, you know, how we're talking about the Thunder, and it's like, well, they've got to put Steven Adams on the court, in my opinion, because they've just got no one else. You've got to, the Nuggets, unfortunately, with Gary Harris not being able to shoot and a few other injuries.
I don't understand that, though, because I swear he used to be able to shoot. Like, Gary Harris.
He's having a bad season and a bad playoffs.
So he was like a fantasy go-to for me.
Yeah.
And I just can't figure out what's happened to him.
Players just go into slumps. Like he might get it back as well, but it's just he's been so dire. But he's still a good player. He's just not a shooter. And the Nuggets just have so little offense. I think Jokic is going to be big and probably have 30-point triple doubles. But I think Murray might. So I could be wrong, but
it's a real shame Will Barton's out, because going into the season I had Denver as one of like the deeper teams.
Yeah,
but it's funny without Gary Harris. I know Gary Harris is back now, but. Without Gary Harris and Will Barton, they suddenly look quite dependent on just they went from their biggest strength to me is almost like the opposite of how they've been so far. Their biggest strength was that they were well balanced, kind of top 10, 8 to 10 guys. But now they look quite top heavy to me. But anyway,
how nice is it to see the well balanced teams like succeeding though? Like seeing, I mean, the Raptors not succeeding anymore, but they're losing to another well balanced team. The Clippers, Celtics, Heat, Thunder to an extent, like they way overachieved. I think I mean, I think the Clippers are well balanced, but that's just because they've got like an embarrassment of riches rather than they're like a well put together team. But that's kind of cool narrative to see, and also see teams just like almost like the hustle teams doing well. That those same teams I consider like to be like well drilled hustle teams, and that's kind of like paying off over over star power, maybe a little bit, maybe not. Lakers versus Rockets. Finally, this is for me really hard. Like, I'd obviously probably pick the Lakers just with more talent, but it's going to be funny to watch, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of excited. Like, JT has a good point that this is the more exciting series than, I think, OKC, LA, possibly. I don't know, actually. But
you just want to see the Rockets come out and just, like, hit, like, a playoff record number of threes in the first game, win game one, and then just all of a sudden, like, the Lakers are panicking. Like, you want to see, yeah.
Like... The Lakers are my other team that I just don't trust. And maybe it's partly because I just I hope they do bad. But I think, again, I think they could be shaky. And I don't know if it's this round or the round after, but I see them falling apart at some stage a bit.
Well, this could be it, because it's going to be such a crazy series. Like, look at Rockets small ball. Like, they literally don't have a, I mean, unless they put on like a player that never plays, like Tyson Chandler. They don't have a person to put out there. The Lakers have all bigs. Like, LeBron, who's basically a power forward, is like their point guard, shooting guard. Like, it's just like they got all these players who are massive, and the Rockets are going to try and, like, I don't know, defend PJ Tucker defending Anthony Davis. Like, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And people have been accusing Anthony Davis of being soft. Well, man, if he shoots a few fadeaways and misses a few fadeaways in game one, that's going to really heat up. But at the same time, the Rockets are playing so poorly at the moment, or the way they seem to get figured out by the Thunder, that it's hard to have too much excitement for them causing an upset. Are you loving it, though? Like, just amazing games all around, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm spending literally all day just watching NBA and then reading comments.
There's only good on you, man. Good on you. There's only two games. There's only two games a day. I find like the best way to watch NBA by mile is just be watching it on League Pass, delayed, and then just like 10-second fast forwarding through all the, if you got fast enough internet for it, through all the breaks. And a game takes like about an hour to watch, and it's awesome. I love it.
I've been watching games live as well, and then just trying to do some work during the little break, and then back into it.
It's just crazy how many stoppages. Like, the last 2 minutes of games are taking like half an hour, and I mean the reviews. What annoys me is like the reviews in like the second quarter, where they like for some reason just get into it, and they're like, it's time to watch this minor push off foul like 45 times, and it's like, yeah, it probably wasn't a push off, but like they're not going to overturn it, you know? Like, there's so many just ticky-tack fouls and so much time spent analyzing them. I just think it's just so much better if you can watch it delayed. But yeah, you run the risk, and you're gonna be so disciplined and not checking any social media or news sites.
Yeah,
anyway, it's a weird way to finish it, but loving the NBA. Shout out to JT, our fallen soldier. Thanks to everyone for listening. I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that.
Catch ya.
On behalf of JT, he was JT, a.k.a. Rocket Man.
Wow. Shout out to the Rocket Man. Catch you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.